So what you're saying is you didn't like Suicide Squad?
No.
Worse.
Shit. Did you like
Don't
Suicide Squad?
Don't introduce all of those characters.
I liked aspects of Suicide Squad. I thought that there were things in it that worked really well.
I liked Harlequin's pants too, but that's
no,
beside
that's
the point.
Don't bring the Joker
you
in
said
at the
aspects.
Last minute. Don't bring the Joker in,
no, I'm
period.
Just kidding.
I got the most disapproving look from Chris.
I liked Deadshot.
Yeah.
And I liked Harley.
Yeah.
I hated Joker.
Croc.
I hated, well, I mean, they one of the problems was for me is that they paid a shitload of money for Will Smith.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in,
of course,
the most shots that you can get him in.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie was a rising star.
Right.
So they said, put her in a bunch of shit. Which meant that all those background characters just got pushed aside.
Well, they didn't need to be in it.
No.
Joker didn't need to even be in this movie at all.
No, if it had been a cameo,
yeah,
at the
that
end,
would be fine.
That would have been great.
That's all that they needed, but they wasted
like
what, him.
At the end of the movie, the way that it stood was fine.
Yeah.
And then everything else didn't
But everything else didn't need to be there.
No.
Sorry.
No. So, you know, that was a problem for me.
Skyhole.
What?
It was another movie with a skyhole.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a big thing now.
Fantastic Four, Skyhole.
Skyhole.
Any movie that sucks outside of the Avengers has
Mutant
a skyhole.
Ninja Turtles 2 has a skyhole.
Yeah, I don't like that movie, but I love that movie. I support more Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies.
Okay. Fuck, where was I going with
Sorry. That? You said you liked aspects of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I think if they had been able to flesh out some of the other characters,
mm-hmm.
but the disjointed beginning where they just threw it together and like there's supposed to be like six different versions of it and this is what they thought worked
yeah.
best. If it had just been Amanda Waller sitting down to dinner and saying these are all the people that we have.
Yeah.
Instead of having to go to
We didn't
the
need a reminder every single time.
No, I think that would have been fine. And to develop most of those characters, like Katana coming in and Joel Kinnaman saying, oh, you don't want to get killed by her sword because it sucks your soul out. And it's like, well, thank you, Captain Exposition. Like,
yeah, I was in RoboCop as a Captain Exposition
yeah.
as well.
Or
which I like that movie was kind of.
Or, hey, cool. Let's put in Slipshot or Slipknot, whatever the fuck his name was.
Slipknot's a band. Slapshot.
No, it wasn't Slapshot.
No.
It's Paul Newman.
Whoever that was, like, I think it was Slipshot.
Slipshot, I think,
Slipshot.
Well, you Slipknot. Don't give the damn person an introduction, and then you blow his head up. Spoilers.
Right.
Y'all are the worst at spoilers.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, just that, like, that was a comic book character that you could have, like,
played with a little
played
bit.
With.
You could have used all of them
yeah.
in a later movie, and now you've just destroyed them and just used them.
Well, this is the issue. You've got two characters that are prevalent inside of the universe. You've hired one actor who is obviously, who in his contract says that he has to fire the Earth-winning shot, the thing that saves the day. The whole reason he didn't do Django
That's
Unchained
why, yeah,
is
Will
because
Smith.
He could not shoot Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was offered the part. He's like, if you rewrite this, that Django shoots him. He's like, no.
No, that's not the
that
point
doesn't make
of the
any
whole
sense.
Movie.
Wow.
And so he wouldn't do the movie because of that. So you put Will Smith in that character. You put Margot Robbie in. And then you basically just kind of pick and choose. And talented actors, too. Those three or four actors.
Right.
But you've set it up like from hell. Where you have all these actors who are really, really good, but then you cast this one person.
Right.
So you obviously know what's going to happen before anything happens.
Right. Right. And
From
the,
hell.
The inclusion of the Joker and the whole thing, like, don't just put him in there to put him in there.
They did.
Like,
that's all they did.
You were trying to make that extra $20.
I guess. And I know Jared Leto says that that's not what he was promised and all this shit.
Yeah, he said that he shot like a lot more and like all this other stuff, and he was supposed to be an integral part of the movie. But
on
yeah.
some level, that's what he put out there, though.
No, I agree, but like it seems to me that Suicide Squad was a knee jerk reaction to Batman v Superman. That
the
when it didn't work,
movie.
When it didn't work, they went, fuck, we need to re-edit Suicide Squad pretty quick.
Mm.
Because of the trailer.
Yeah.
They got the trailer company.
Yeah.
The people who actually edited the trailer to edit the beginning of the movie. Yeah. And then apparently just ran out of money 1/3 of the way through the movie. Because the second last 2/3 of that movie are...
But even that first third is a mess. Third is just all over the place.
And it's way too long.
Yeah.
Just way too long.
It's not, though. The issue is because of the way they edited it.
I mean, especially like the stat shit that comes up. And you're like...
Yeah.
We don't need that in a superhero film.
And from what I've understood is, I don't know if you've watched the Batman vs. Superman director's cut.
Yes, I have.
Makes the movie, it's still a shit movie.
But it makes it watchable.
Yeah, it does. Like, I will rewatch that movie because I purchased that.
Like, why would you cut out an entire subplot of the desert and, like, them trying to frame Superman?
It's the whole thing that makes the entire movie make sense.
That's what didn't make sense in the movie if you watch it in the theater.
Yeah.
And then, from what I understood from Suicide Squad, the director's cut actually makes it worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a David Ayer film. He's not a great director. And he's...
Fury was really good, though.
I didn't like Fury.
Really?
I don't remember Fury, maybe. Oh. But what was the one with Jake Gyllenhaal? It was okay. He's like... I don't know. Who wrote Narc?
Are you talking about the movie with Jake Gyllenhaal?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a movie called with Jake Gyllenhaal. He plays a cop. Sorry, my phone's on airplane mode.
My phone's dead.
So, Chris,
my phone's about to die.
Oh, good.
Which is up on the other phone.
Why do you have?
He has two phones.
Two phones.
Because
one's for pornography. Phone. I gotcha.
One's for my ladies and one's for me. don't tell my wife.
Okay.
Okay.
So, what do you want to know?
Who David Ayer has directed other films, and then there was the guy who directed Narc, who directed A Team.
Joe Carnahan.
I like Joe Carnahan's films, but I can understand why that's not everybody's cup of tea. But I wouldn't give.
Well, the A Team has its problems.
I love A Team movie. I completely agree that A Team has a ton of problems. You can't go in a tank and shoot it out of the air.
Boom.
I will in no way say that it's an anywhere near great movie. I enjoy the hell out of watching that movie.
End of Watch.
That was an okay movie. Mm-hmm. But there are certain movie directors that have a certain style that I would not, that don't lend themselves to a certain thing. So why, if you have a movie where that is so polarizing in Suicide Squad, why would you give him like something that can be hypersexualized in Gotham City Sirens, something that obviously needs to be directed by a woman?
Well, yeah. So he wrote Training Day.
Yeah, I don't like that movie. I don't like that.
Really?
Movie. No, I don't like Training Day.
Okay.
King Kong ain't got shit on me. I get it.
He wrote SWAT, so you know, whatever.
Boom, doo 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 doo.
He wrote End of Watch.
That's a good movie.
He wrote Sabotage, which was terrible.
It's a terrible movie, but it's cool. It's a cool movie, but it's not a good movie.
He wrote Fury, which I liked.
Okay.
And he wrote Suicide Squad.
So what in that says that he can direct Gotham City Sirens?
Maybe it was given to him as a apology for fucking with Suicide Squad so hard.
And they did. Yeah. The studio definitely got involved. Oh, yeah. But that's what they've done in every single movie.
Yeah, and that's their problem.
They're worse than Fox, for God's sakes, and that's hard to say.
I know. They're seeing what Marvel's doing, and they're saying, how do we do that?
Well, not do what you're doing. Well,
can we do a third hour on X-Men Last Stand?
You love that movie so much.
Everybody says X-Men Wolverines or X-Men Origins Wolverines is the worst movie. No. It's a bad movie, and it's a terrible movie. But there's no precedent set with that movie. I don't expect anything of that movie. That movie was bad on its own
right.
But to make an okay movie in X-Men and a pretty fantastic movie in X2, and then to make X-Men 3 Last Stand.
Well, wasn't that directed by Brett Ratner?
Brett Ratner is one of the worst directors in Hollywood, man.
Brett Ratner, Yul Boll, and Zack Snyder.
Brett Ratner, if you're listening to this, but do better.
Brett Ratner's, I mean, as much as I like Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2, Rush Hour 3 is an abortion.
He's just a terrible director.
But I mean, like Zack Snyder at least has Dawn of the Dead.
Zack Snyder is amazing at making visuals.
He's a victim of his own hubris.
But he's not a director.
No.
He can't direct actors.
Mm-mm.
He can make something look pretty, but that's it. And that's his problem. Right
but even
there.
Then, it's not that pretty because he mutes all the colors.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
But still, on screen, it's...
When 300 came out, 300 was a revolution.
Yeah.
Because it was shot mostly on green screen, and he did the super slow motion shit, and it was fascinating to watch.
Right.
And then he built a career on that. And now every fucking thing that he does has slow motion in it. Mm-hmm. There's a shot in the new Justice League trailer of
the Flash.
Cyborg.
Oh.
Where he's playing football and it's in super slow motion. He's being tackled or something. And it's like, okay, so I get it. The opening credits of Justice League is going to be Cyborg's backstory. And it's going to be all fucking slow motion, just like Batman v Superman.
So who would you say is a great visual director in that way? Because I mean, I can go into like great directors like Scorsese and Spielberg, who know story and plot, know when to put special effects in, or you know. But who is a great visual director like Zack Snyder? Who's a good Zack Snyder?
I make it pounded for this, but I think J.J. Abrams.
Oh, he's a great director. No, I would agree. I don't think he can direct. I don't think he can create a movie for shit. If he has somebody else create it, then it's fine.
I don't know. I really think the things that he's done has put him on that level of of outstanding directors. Of like,
and I always like hearing him talk. I'm not a huge lover of J.J. Abrams, especially when he's left to his own, because 8mm was not a good movie. Mission Impossible 3.
Isn't 8mm the snuff film?
What am I talking
about? With Nicolas Cage?
8mm.
No, that is a snuff film with that, Nick Cage. We ran into Nick Cage in Las Vegas.
And the Palms.
Well, what is the one with where he directs? 16mm?
No, I know what you're talking about, and it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't.
Okay, good. I'm not.
I was like, no.
Snuff films. Right. How many snuff films have you made, Chris?
Two.
Okay, good. I won't ask for any more information because it might implicate you.
Super 8.
Super 8. Thank you. Super
8. Yeah.
One
of the best train crashes in cinema history.
The best train crash in cinema history actually belongs to The Fugitive.
Well,
because that movie rocks. You don't like The Fugitive? But
I do. I do. I would say that Super 8 has a better train crash simply because if you look at it, it's from the point of view of the kids. So okay. It just keeps happening.
I gotcha.
And you just keep seeing shit happen. Like, that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. But I don't think the rest of the film's great, but...
But it, because it's Cloverfield. The Cloverfield monster. They ran out of money with the train crash and used the Cloverfield monster again.
Well...
He has the wrong idea about an extended connected universe, I think. Like, because he tries to plug all of his stuff in to each other. Like, Star Trek has Slusho, which...
Well, yeah, but that's just director trademark shit. Yeah. That's...
But Star Trek Beyond was one of the best movies I saw last year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sequence with the Beastie Boys?
Oh my gosh, I mean, Sabotage was amazing.
Don't get me started on, like, directors that connect shit, because we're going to end up talking about Kevin Smith and
Quentin Tarantino. And
I can't stand Kevin Smith.
You love him.
I can't stand him.
Kevin Smith, we're going to tweet you.
No. Don't bother.
Aww.
Don't bother.
If only he has a lot of talent, and if he could only connect consistently his talent with his...
Oh, he's super lazy.
Yeah, he is lazy.
He's lazy.
With his excitement about the project.
The only reason that he's doing well in the TV world now is because he doesn't have to write anything. He's walking in and just telling people what to... Yeah. Where to stand. And he
Well, he'll write a line. He'll basically he's the modern script doctor, in so much as he'll punch up the jokes and things like that, probably.
Yeah, and anytime any of his stuff gets close to being made, he backs out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so do you not want to do this shit?
I want to see Moose Jaws. Did you watch?
Oh god.
Did you see
I didn't
Yoga Hosers.
I didn't see Yoga Hosers. I saw Tusk.
Yeah.
And I saw Tusk on YouTube for free, and I still feel like I paid too much.
Okay, if you didn't like Tusk, then you definitely want to watch Yoga Hosers. Yoga Hosers is probably his worst film to date.
I saw the trailer, and there's no way I could ever bring myself... It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all I gotta do is hit play, and I can't bring myself to do it.
It's really funny that you said, all I gotta do is hit play, which is exactly what Jersey does. When Kevin Smith is talking, he goes, all I gotta do...
So, I mean,
I think he's got a ton of talent.
I think he had a ton of talent. I think he's
writing his own skirt tales, basically.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what he's doing. He's sitting there saying, I'm the guy who did it this way. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to redefine myself and make what I want to see. And he's wasting people's money. He's wasting people's time. He made arguably, I think, one of his best films, which is Chasing Amy.
That is his
for best film. $250,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He can do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's greedy and he just wants... He wants the money to be able to be like, oh, like.
Well, I think there's a certain level of comfort that comes with that money, too.
But for me, if I was in his position and I was wanting to make films that I knew that weren't going to be profitable.
Yeah.
Like, he had a shot with Red State and Red State didn't turn out the way he wanted it. So.
It wasn't a bad movie, though. It wasn't a good movie.
The ending is all fucked up.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, for whatever. But okay. Like. If I was to go out and then say, I want to make a movie about a guy that gets turned into a walrus.
Yeah.
I'd be putting up my own money.
Right.
Yeah. As a put up or shut up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask anybody else to fund this. This is going to be all on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he keeps going back and he keeps like, well, I can't get this funded, so I'm not going to do it. And it's like, nobody wants to see your shit.
Yeah.
Like, every single reviewer is like, what the hell happened to Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
so what do you think that Kevin Smith can do to save DC Legends of Tomorrow?
Don't go anywhere near it.
Okay, cool.
I don't want him near Arrow. I don't want him, like, the fact that he's done The Flash. Eh. Like, his episodes, I don't think are great.
I don't think they're bad, but I don't think they're anything better than their stock director, there. Like David
no.
Grossman.
No, it's exactly like what Greg would Beenan. Be there if any other director was going to step in.
But I'm not quite sure that wouldn't be the case with... almost every single director out there.
But for TV, I agree, because the time you get to these seasons, it's already established
a machine.
Yeah.
You're just walking into the same cinematographer, the same guy.
And try to get a couple of extra ideas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's not adding anything other than Jason Mewes into some of these shots.
Right.
But that does help the shows, not necessarily content-wise, mm-hmm. but as far as like bringing a slightly different audience in there.
It feels like stunt casting, though.
What the hell is TV other than stunt casting?
I don't know. It should kind of lay on its own merits, though. I feel like the show should be the show.
I think we wouldn't feel that way if Flash was only as good as DC Legends of Tomorrow. But because it is better and it's of a higher quality, then I think like you have to kind of say, okay, well, we don't need you over here. We need you over here.
Well, I feel like if they would do like what Chris was saying earlier, have it at one established genre or place or whatever for a season, they could save that money and use it on the special effects when they actually need the special effects.
Yeah,
right.
Instead of just blowing it all on...
When they did those couple of seasons... I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
When they were in like Nazi Germany, those couple of episodes on Legends of Tomorrow in season one...
Oh, yeah.
I thought those worked well enough. But again, we're never in one place long enough to do that. I think they need to hone in on two or three, four episode arcs.
Well, what you end up having is you do those and then you run out of money and then they have to do the bottle episodes where like it's all going to take place in the ship.
Well, then do
and
those.
It's all placed in the mind.
It's completely different. You're blowing all your money setting up your entire universe for each episode.
But if you can build like three or four sets, it's the same issue that Quantum Leap, Sliders, yada yada, everything through history except for VR. R5 had, because that was a show that existed. That you basically need to set up your locations where you can have those handful of locations. You set up 4 to 6 different locations, and then have a bottle episode like you're talking about for one or two episodes in between that.
Right.
And I think if they could just get it to that, then you can have Firestorm come out once in a season. Because I think they've only brought him in twice in this whole season.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the problem, is like you
but
have
But you have
these...
Flash every single episode.
Yeah, but you don't have to do, in The Flash, you don't have to do the Wave Rider, and you don't have to do, what's his name, Adam shrinking, and all this other shit. Like, they took the most complex visual effects people and put them all in one show.
Yeah.
And put them in a spaceship on top of it. They just don't have the money.
Have they renewed it for a third season yet? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how you keep it going the way it's going.
I don't think you do. I think they'll probably revisit it.
I think the Legion of Doom was a good idea on paper, but if they're not going to be in every single episode,
then you can't have
them. Then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem with, I think they have a different problem than Walking Dead does, where they just need to, they need to go back and watch Firefly, because what they did was they picked a couple of characters to kind of to stand in the forefront of that episode. So even though you got Gina Torres, Nathan Fillion, etc., Adam Baldwin was the head of the Janesville episode. Right. Okay, so yes, this character, but you have the Monica Baccarin at the forefront of the episode. Heart of Gold.
Right.
So you have those people. So I think if they just did that and then kind of did that for, you know, an episode.
They try to do that.
But it's never successful.
Like, but like Sarah Lance is always in charge, and it's like,
yeah.
You know, they tried to do that when they went to Civil War and they dealt with the racism thing.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it well.
Well, that's because they never embraced those issues. They don't want to embrace those. They don't want to confront those issues. No. So just ignore them and leave them on the ship.
Right. Right. Don't tackle those kinds of things if you're not going to tackle them head on.
It's the same issue and in a much larger capacity, because you've got a much larger budget on Timeless. They have the same issues on Timeless.
Is that the one where they chase somebody through time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me tell you, all these time travel shows just can't quite get it right.
That's because there's Quantum Leap.
DC Legends of Tomorrow is, well, that's, you know, that's like going, oh, there's no good series in a bar because of Cheers. Because Cheers is awesome.
Don't be ridiculous.
There's no good. Well, I mean, yeah. But like Time After Time has the same issues as well.
Okay.
Because the great thing about it is Jack the Ripper steals the time machine. H.G. Wells goes in time after him. Great. But whenever you don't have them bouncing around from time period to time period, it doesn't work. Because then it's just a procedural at that point in time. It's just Grimm's. Or Sleepy Hollow or whatever else.
Right. I mean, time travel is tricky just because a lot of the shows and movies don't stick to their established rules.
Yeah.
As soon as they throw them out the window.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem with Legends of Tomorrow for me, is you're setting up on Flash that you shouldn't travel in time and fuck with the timeline. And then you have an entire show where that's all they do.
Yeah.
And, okay, they've kind of introduced a time race this season just because of Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
But, like, all of last season, where were the time race? Where were all the shit that they were setting up on Flash for it to be one connected universe?
That's why first season worked better than the second season as far as the overarching plot.
Yeah.
But the individual episodes work better this season. But you've got no overarching enemy, even though Legion of Doom is awesome.
Right.
But Legion of Doom is something that Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash fight, and not these second, for lack of a better term, second-rate heroes.
Right.
Well, how much of a budget did, like, Star Trek have versus...
It's a completely different ballgame. You're talking about a syndication deal on top of network money. It's you don't have 10 to 30 million viewers every single week tuning in like you did on Star Trek.
Back in 87, when Next Generation came out, it was $1 million an episode what they were spending. Now, I want to say, like, Walking Dead is made for $3 million an episode.
Okay.
Buffy, when it was in its prime, was made for about 1.3 to 3 million an episode. Yeah. So you're probably looking anywhere from $500,000 to $2 million per Flash, and if they have that much. The thing about Flash is, and the not to get too technical into all that stuff, is if you're Walking Dead, you've got Walking Dead is the MASH of modern shows, but like Flash, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, all those shows have an aftermarket that shows before did not have. Before, the shows would have an aftermarket of syndication. Now you've got a day live, plus one, mm-hmm. plus three, plus five, plus seven ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all kinds of different ways to view it.
Yeah.
And then you add on this Netflix stuff on top of that, and it's a completely different universe. So.
Ah, good times.
Yeah. we're in no way endorse Nielsen.
No. Although then you get things like Big Bang Theory, where they sell it in a syndication, and that's all they fucking show on like TBS. And
holy shit. But that's when you can give, what was it, $1.8 million an episode to Charlie Sheen?
Well, we were talking about salaries a couple weeks ago, and how the fact that, like, Andrew Lincoln, who is on one of the highest rated TV shows of ever,
yeah,
only makes $90,000 an episode.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes $90,000. Norman Reedus makes $60,000.
He sweats $90,000, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like you would think, for as popular as that show is, and as hard as they work, they'd be making more money. And the
but you're only putting it in certain episodes.
But and the discussion led from the fact that, circling this back to last week,
Mad Monster,
that in the bigger conventions.
Yeah.
So like MegaCon, mm-hmm. San Diego, New York Comic Con, Walker Stalker, all those people make more in a weekend signing than they do for an episode. So if they're willing to go out every weekend, they like triple their money.
Wow.
Just from cons.
Just from that day.
Yeah. And
that's why Stephen Amell is at so many conventions.
Right. Exactly. Dang. He's not making the money on the show. He's making the money from the fans.
What I like is that he's such a damn positive person.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are actors, Jewel State being one of them, who has turned down roles in movies because she will make more going to conventions weekends than being in a film.
That's crazy.
That woman just keeps getting hotter every single year.
Well, yeah. She was always my favorite.
That woman is beautiful. Jesus.
Even when it was pudgy Kaylee,
yeah,
like in the first couple episodes, like she was hot, and it was like, oh, holy shit! And then like, yeah, she just gets better.
She was pretty on a Honey I Shrunk the Kids, the TV show. Jewel State, if you're listening, what? Let's go to IHOP together. They're our sponsor for this week. They're not our sponsor.
No sponsors. There's no sponsors.
But I just want a monster cheeseburger. IHOP, one monster cheeseburger is all I'm asking. With Jewel State, we'll split
ridiculous.
It.
You're ridiculous.
Do you think Jewel State eats monster cheeseburgers?
No, I would have to go with no.
She might eat a fry.
Chances are she's probably vegetarian.
Okay. We can go to Denny's then.
What does Denny's have that IHOP doesn't?
They have a large vegetarian menu.
Yeah, they have a vegetarian thing.
The Fit Slam.
The Fit Slam.
That's at IHOP.
No, what is the thing?
The thing.
The Denny's. The Fit Slam. No, we had it at Denny's.
No, the 222 is the Fit. I don't know. It's one of those.
The Fit Slam is at Denny's.
Okay.
So Denny's, if you'll call IHOP. I don't know if you hate me or not right now. Chris is just scowling. So
no, I'm trying to look up whether or not
because there's no sponsors.
Jewel State eats meat.
She might.
You've heard it first here, and something that you she probably easily meat. Could have looked up on the internet quicker than we can.
But, and by we, you mean
the listeners?
Oh,
the 15 million listeners we have listening right now.
15,000 fans.
Can't be wrong. 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. What is the line from Beauty and the Beast? Beauty and the Beast made like a metric shit ton of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah, even with people like not wanting to see it because there's a gay scene in it.
Yeah, but they did really well with like not even making it like ridiculous either.
You can't.
It's funny. It was a dress.
So I didn't see it. My wife took my kid to see it and. I said, so what was the big gay thing? And she was like, I was a dude in a dress. And they danced together at the end.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
And I was like, that's what people got all up in arms about?
Do you remember in the first animated film where the wardrobe shoots him and then he is wearing like Ariel's outfit and screams and runs off?
Okay.
It was that sequence.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been done before.
Yeah, in Disney films.
In Disney films.
But this was a big game.
Oh, no, she's a meat eater. You got a shot.
Yes. Hey. Jewel, I'll tweet you.
So apparently she made a hashtag that said Team Pig, and everybody thought that that meant like she didn't eat meat, like save the pigs. And she put to clarify, hashtag Team Pig means we eat the pigs.
Yeah.
Like with eggs on sandwiches sometimes. Cue vegans making voodoo dolls out of my action figures.
Nice.
Yeah, PETA.
Yeah.
I want meat on top of my meat.
I do. That'd be awesome.
Like side of bacon to go with my side of bacon?
With side yes, of bacon please. To go with the side of bacon.
In my mouth.
So what TV have we addressed all? There's Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've addressed The Flash, DC Legends Tomorrow, because I know we got to wrap up. DC Legends Tomorrow, Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, Walking Dead. Okay, two shows that we should address before we wrap up.
Okay.
And we can do this briefly. Gotham, and the only show that apparently needs to be worse than Gotham, which has possibly more talent than Gotham has in any single episode, not to say anything against Michael Chiklis or anything else, Powerless.
That old show from a couple of years ago?
No, Powerless, the new one.
Oh, Powerless. Oh, Powerless. Okay.
What are you? You're talking about Power.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Powers.
Yeah, there was that one where like him and his family got superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever that was.
Oh, that's Family Matter. No, not Family Matters. Okay, sorry. Powerless.
You know where Urkel comes over? Yeah. And dressed as Superman.
Did I do that?
Yeah.
Easier for you, Brandon.
Okay, so what about Gotham?
Have you okay? Well, Gotham has a ton of issues too, which I think they tried to resolve this season, and were only relatively successful.
They recycle the same story arc.
I think
you didn't watch the season.
Yeah. I think the Jerome stuff is fascinating. I think the proto Joker thing works. Yeah.
The Mad Hatter, though, I thought worked.
I didn't really like him.
But because you didn't like it didn't mean it didn't work.
Well, yeah, but usually that's a good indication of whether or not I think it works.
Okay.
I thought the actor was annoying.
Okay.
I thought his take on the character, I don't know, it bothered me. I thought the Jerome stuff was kind of cool. My biggest problem with Gotham is connecting the dots and connecting the dots later on.
Okay.
Like... The biggest issue is Barbara. Like, how is she ever going to get to a point where she marries James Gordon and they have a kid that becomes Batgirl?
Barbara Gordon is not James Gordon's wife, though, in the books. But he marries another woman. I don't remember what her name is.
Barbara Keene is supposed to be his wife in the comic books.
What is that true? I thought it was, like, another person. And then Barbara's his daughter, Barbara Gordon.
From what I remember in the comic books, Barbara Keene marries Jim Gordon, and then they have a daughter, and they name her Barbara after her mother.
I think it would all be interesting if you kind of sped up time and with the older Batman, because then you have the entire, like, actual Court of Owls stuff.
Right.
Where, like, his son is a crazy maniac killer.
Right, but that's my problem with this. Like, you have the Court of Owls, and you have the Riddler and the Penguin and Jim Gordon knowing all these people intimately.
Yeah.
When... they shouldn't even be around until 15 Batman
years
shows
later
up.
Or 10
and
years
that,
later.
That shit pisses me off because they bought the rights to all these characters and they're like, fuck it, we're going to use it no matter what.
Yeah.
So we're going to make a dude that looks like the Joker, acts like the Joker, pretty much is the Joker, but we're just going to say that he's maybe the first Joker. And you're going to have Barbara who goes absolutely insane and kills her parents.
But she's not Harley.
But yeah, she's kind of the proto Harley. Like, the proto thing just,
Well, you've got, like, no wonder Batman beats all these villains. They're 85 by the time he's actually Batman.
Right. Like the whole thing when they brought Jerome out the first time and, like, it was him and Barbara and I forgot what they called them. They had a name for the group.
Oh, the Maniacs.
The Maniacs. When they were doing the Maniacs... that was amazing episodes of Gotham.
But it unraveled within 3 or 4 episodes.
Yes, yeah, they just got rid of it. And it's like, stop doing that shit. Like, pick something and stick with it. Gotham should have been the crime lords of Gotham and their rise and Jim Gordon battling corruption in the city.
Right.
Until
Batman.
They didn't even need Batman at that point until later.
No, and the kid was never supposed to be in it.
Yeah.
The kid was only supposed to be in it for a couple episodes and they liked working with him and said, well, maybe we could have Bruce Wayne in this.
Well, it should have been Batman Begins. That's all it needed to be. Was like,
and they try, I mean, with Alfred training him and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay, I see what you're doing, but it's not, they can't sustain that.
Well, Alfred's too cool too in this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you put Doctor Who's son in the TV show, you got to make him cool.
So as far as Powerless, I have not watched it.
It's terrible.
I was going to the initial pitch that I had heard was it was going to be an insurance company, and yep. they were going to be dealing with the fallout from the destruction that the superheroes were causing.
Yep.
And then when it came to TV, it was...
They shot that pilot.
Yes. It became them working at a Wayne Tech company, and they make inventions to save people, but like Alan Tudyk is...
Alan Tudyk was supposed to be the head of the insurance company.
Right, but now Vanessa he's like Hutchins. Bruce Wayne's cousin or something.
Right.
Like, poor Alan Tudyk. It's Alan Tudyk hits gold and then hits shit. Like he bounces from one to the other. Well, I give him credit for Con Man.
No, I'm saying Con Man is good. Okay. Yeah.
So, powerless as shit. So like he had Firefly and stumbled into something great. And then that ended, so he... I think he did iRobot.
I like that movie. Do you like that movie?
I'm not a big fan.
Okay.
Like he bounces off of that, and like he ends up doing his own thing with Con Man, and then he stumbles into Star Wars.
Yeah.
And is the best part of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he does Powerless, and you're like,
Well it set it up. It looked like it was going to be really great, and it just failed.
Well, it's like Nathan Fillion.
He's usually the best part of whatever he's in.
It's true, and like, he is the best part
like
of that show.
Like, Alan Tudyk was the best part of Suburbia, or was that whatever that...
The one with the name? Wait, what are you talking about?
What the hell was it? He played a dentist.
I've never watched Suburgatory?
Suburgatory,
I never watched that show.
Yes, he was the best part of that.
Okay.
Huh. So, yeah, Nathan Fillion's
with
the same
Jane
way.
Levy. Yeah. Jane Levy, or what?
Jane Levy.
Yeah.
No, not Levy. Eugene. Jane Levy. Oh, she's this gorgeous little redhead girl. Yeah.
She was in the remake of
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
Yeah,
she was the main character.
She was the last girl, or the final girl, which was actually a good movie.
Yeah,
I'd rather see a sequel to that than Don't Breathe.
Yeah. So he's the best part of Suburgatory. He's the best part of... So maybe he's the best part of Powerless. I don't know.
He but is, like, but that's not saying much. Well, I mean, when you put Ron Funches in anything, he's going to draw some attention. Ron Funches is hilarious. And Vanessa Hutchins, bless her heart, she's awesome in that show if you were to have her in a different show. Okay. She doesn't fit in that show. I mean, the tone of the show and her kind of they coalesce, but...
Okay.
But it would have been much better as an insurance company, because then he could have been a boss who didn't like how they were fulfilling all of the insurance claims, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And then you have The Office with superheroes.
Yeah.
But this is just, it doesn't make any sense.
No, and
it'll be gone after this season.
Yeah.
And that's a missed opportunity, because then you won't get another one of these shows, because now you get Logan, which is R-rated because Deadpool was so good. And you're going to get an R-rated this and an R-rated that and an R-rated another. Because you can make the money. But people won't learn that, okay, it was made for $50 to $70 million. So therefore, we have to make it for this much money and have a character that's worth this much.
Do you know what Logan's...
300 million.
Was it 300 million?
It's not done yet.
It didn't... No, but I mean, what it cost to make.
What it cost to make, it was like somewhere between 80 and 120. Okay. It wasn't a huge film, but it was bigger than...
Because it doesn't feel big, like when you watch it. Like...
I wasn't as huge a fan of that movie as I wanted to be.
I thought it was the best Wolverine film that they had done.
Had you made this be the first one, I would have been satisfied with it.
Yes.
Before The Wolverine?
Well, The Wolverine has a lot of great action in it, and this has a lot of gory action. So if you had a great action with gory action, it would have been cool.
Did you not see it?
No, we all saw it.
Yeah, oh, no, okay. I was just asking if that's...
I mean, I was not... ready for the level of violence that was in it. So, like, spoilers, anybody see? I did it for who hasn't seen it yet.
Like, learning curve.
When he wakes up in the cab or in the limo, and he gets out, and the first thing he does is stab the dude in the face.
I thought that was awesome.
Like, yes. Holy shit.
Yes.
My mom was sitting next to me, and I'm like, I look at her and I go, that's how you set a tone.
Yes. So we went to see it. We did the big conference in Orlando.
Yeah.
And on Monday night after AMC. The rehearsals, we went to the AMC theater, and it was the first time that I had ever dealt with assigned seating.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen that anywhere else.
I had a guy get jerked off next to me in New York while watching Jack Reacher, ironically.
Nice.
Literally.
So
can I say that?
Sure.
Okay.
So,
assigned seating is weird.
Yeah, so we were out at the kiosk thing, and we picked the seats real quick. And
who went with you?
Scott.
Okay.
So Scott and I go and we sit down. We get our food. We sit down. First one's in the theater. Second group is a bunch of little kids, and they sit right next to us. And I'm like,
hey,
all of I don't know if they're going to
know. I don't know. Well, I was like, I don't know if they're going to be ready for this, like knowing what I knew about the film. And the first time he stabs somebody in the face, you hear, and I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. This is going to be bad. And then just the violence of that.
It's super like violent. X-23, it's ultra violent.
Cutting a guy's head off and then rolling it like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Hells yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like the film more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have never liked a Wolverine film.
You didn't like The Wolverine?
No. No. That and
did
and
you watch the R-rated cut of that?
I like... Well, okay. Let me put it this way. I base the entire thing on whether or not I see a shot that I think is just terrible.
Okay. Well, that's weird. But yeah.
So one shot ruins the whole movie?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
The scene when he's on top of the train.
Yeah.
And he does the thing where he lets go and he like goes into the guy. Mm-hmm. That I'm just like, that's fucking terrible. That's you can do so much better than that.
Had you had that done again 10 years earlier because they did it in Mission Impossible 1 in 96.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm not a big fan of that film either.
That movie is much better than people give it credit for.
I've seen it recently in the past couple of years. I think when...
Is it Ghost, better than you remember it?
When Ghost Protocol came out...
you rewatched them all?
Paramount did a thing where you could download all the digital versions for free.
Oh, cool.
Oh, it was like a week like that they had this thing. And
you could watch them before.
They didn't advertise it. But if you knew where to look, you could go get them. So I watched them all again.
So what's the order of, if you were going to do five of them? Because you've got, okay, so just to refresh, you've got the shit, what's his name? Who directed, oh God. Who directed 8mm? I'm not breaking this chair, am I?
No.
No.
Not Brian De Palma. Jesus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cheese and crackers. Okay, you got Brian De Palma.
Right.
Then you've got, my brain is failing all the way around.
The dude with the birds.
Yeah.
The Asian guy.
Two-fisted guns. Two guns.
Two guns.
Two guns. Tweet us right now, and we'll find it in 2 weeks. Wong.
James?
No, not James Wong. James Wan is who I'm thinking about.
No, it's, oh, fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
The guy that always has the slow-motion birds.
Shit, a panda. Yeah. Okay, so you know which one it is. It's Mission Impossible 2. Mm-hmm. Then Mission Impossible 3 is J.J. Abrams. Mission Impossible 4 is, I don't remember who directed Christopher.
It was Christopher McQuarrie.
No, that's 4 or 5.
I thought he did 4 and 5.
No, he's doing 5 and 6. Oh. 4 was directed by somebody else. Rogue Nation was directed by somebody else.
Hang on.
No, Rogue Nation was the last one, wasn't it? And Ghost Protocol was 4. Oh, that was Brad Bird, directed part 4.
Okay.
The same guy who gave us Iron Giant.
Right.
And Ratatouille.
So, like, what is my...
Yeah, what's your order of those movies?
What's my order of what of I
Mission
think...
Mission Impossible movies. Do you like any of them? Let me ask you that question. Okay.
Yes. I would say Ghost Protocol is probably my favorite.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Followed by Rogue Nation. I liked Rogue Nation a lot.
Yeah.
Followed by the J.J. Abrams one.
Okay.
And then 1 and 2. I think 2 is the...
Worst.
The weakest of
that's
them
because
all.
That's because you wrote it during a writer's strike. So you wrote action scenes.
Well, it's every... And I know they all are, but it seems like it's every Tom Cruise cliche ever, like, shoved into one thing on overdrive.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get him on a motorcycle. He's got to run.
Yeah.
He's got to do this. We're going to do a flip kick.
What was your order, Cage?
John Woo.
John Woo. I was very close.
You were very close.
Piece of the chair I found.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm going to go 5-4-1-3-2.
Mine's close. Mine's 5-1-4, and then 2-3-2. Maybe 2-3. I thought the ending felt like Speed at the end of the third one. The J.J. Abrams one.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman is going to be the super genius who stumbles into traffic.
Yeah, well.
I felt like Dennis Hopper could have driven that car and then been like, ah, you went out the same way that I did. I'm a super genius who set up a bomb on a bus that, you know, is basically like a bouncing Mary or whatever the landmine is.
Betty.
Bouncing Betty. Bouncing Mary.
Mm. Hail Mary.
Bouncing Betty.
Bouncing Betty. Bouncing Betty is the landmine.
Right. What's that from, though?
It's from reality.
I know it's from reality.
World. The World of War. Okay. No.
That's probably where you're. Yeah. Nazi Germany? I don't know.
Okay. So you're saying you like Nazis? Is that what you're saying?
I love Nazis.
Okay.
You've heard I enjoy first? American Psycho. I thought that everything was really great about the original Birth of a Nation. No, it's a really well done racist movie. So yeah.
So good.
Okay, so Gotham.
Well, you did grow up in South Carolina.
Yeah, that is very true. But wait, what?
Grew up in Charleston.
Yeah. Do people know we're here?
Yeah.
Well, the address
here is 42.
So,
no, I'm
sorry. So you're a native.
Yeah, correct.
You were born in Charleston.
In Charleston.
Lived here all your life.
I the Roper extension, I was born at St. Francis.
And what about you, Kristen?
I was born at Roper downtown.
Oh, so you're a Charlestonian?
Charlestonian.
Native Charlestonian?
Yeah. Right.
I do declare.
Okay.
And you were born in
New Jersey.
Phoenix.
No. New Jersey.
New Jersey. Oh, that's Pleasant. Right.
Point Pleasant. I lived in Mount Pleasant.
Right.
Yeah. How long were you in Jersey for? Sorry.
Until I went to college.
What was college like in the 80s?
I didn't go in the 80s.
I'm just kidding.
I went in the late 90s.
I'm just kidding.
So I went to school in 96, so I was 22 when I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Wisconsin for 2 years while I
How's
went to school.
How's the cheese?
You know, one of the most amazing things about living in Wisconsin was that you could walk into a store and get a gallon of milk for less than a dollar.
Wow.
Because it's literally like right out the back. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. So then I moved back to New Jersey.
Okay.
For 2 years while I worked at Six Flags Great Adventure. And then I moved to Florida and I worked there for almost 8 years. And then Arkansas for 2 years. And then now here
Arkansas.
For five.
Yep.
I forgot.
I lived in Arkansas for more than that.
I keep thinking it's Phoenix, Arizona.
No.
The other A.
I lived in Arkansas for 5 years. And then we moved here. Huh. And we've been here for 5 years.
We went to... In Arizona, since some I met. Phoenix, Arizona. We went to this restaurant. We were trying to find a restaurant to eat at, but it was later at night. I went to Acapulco. Was it that's what
yes.
it was called?
Okay.
Yes.
And
there were like brightly colored neon trees outside, palm trees, and we're like, well, that looks fun.
Like, not like plastic trees, like
no, they're metal neon
palm
trees.
Okay.
And they were fiber optic and at times.
Like huge over the building. Yeah. They were
okay.
Real big.
They were like eight. Or they were like 15, 20 feet tall. Anyway, we go in this restaurant, and so the people at the place kind of look at us weird. So we realize that we're not like there are places where you go, you expect a certain ambiance. But you could tell walking in that nobody spoke English in this Mexican restaurant.
Ah, okay.
And which was fine. So we're like, we're going to get really authentic food. Because last time we were in Los Angeles, we went to this restaurant mm-hmm. where this like side cart. Or like this tiny hallway restaurant
right.
and got the most amazing Mexican food.
Okay.
Authentic Mexican, not Tex-Mex mm-hmm. food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we go and so there's, like she said, an authentic mariachi band there. And so there's a birthday party going on. So as we walk in, they put us right in front of everybody.
They move the tables.
Right next to the mariachi
band.
Put us
right in front of the band, in front of the entire restaurant that was facing forward because they were looking at the band, of
and
course.
The entire Mexican American population zones in on us as we're walking through.
Ah, the gringos.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Ah,
so
yes.
The definite gringos.
Yes.
During the night, our waitress has to bring over another waitress because she doesn't understand English. It's a younger waitress who works there who obviously you know is bilingual. Because
there are music videos on the TV
of people dancing.
Of people dancing.
Okay.
It was a very, very interesting experience. The night ended up with one guy getting up there and singing a song with the band. There was karaoke that started
karaoke.
Up right after that. There were people like there. She would like go up and she would have these older couples like dance with each other. And then I think the kicker was when, while all this was going on and we're drinking our apple sodas and eating our Mexican food, all of which came with seafood. There was nothing on the menu that without did not come seafood. With seafood.
It was all seafood, I guess, because Acapulco.
Okay.
And there was a gigantic dancing shark. Guy in a dancing shark costume.
In a shark costume that came and danced.
And he's like dancing.
Like from the
ladies.
Super Bowl? Like the like
was,
one of those?
It was like the Katy exactly Perry shark.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it was like a legit outfit. Like it was hardcore. Like
that was my birthday dinner.
No, nice. It was our birthday dinner this year. So
super weird. But that's not where he's from. That was in nope. Arizona. Yeah. He's
but
from
still,
Arkansas.
I feel like people should know about that.
It's a good story.
Okay.
What's your favorite superhero movie ever?
Oh, Jesus.
Kristen, you're on the hook too.
Ever.
Like strictly superhero or based on a comic book?
I don't know. Let's go with both.
Favorite superhero movie was probably the original Superman.
Yeah, that's mine too.
It's a good one.
Or at least one of them. The Dark Knight was another one.
Oh shit. No, those are turned into comics.
Which one
is
that
a little
one?
Different.
Which one are you thinking about? Casper the Friendly Ghost?
No.
Is that your favorite movie?
Yes. Young Christina Ricci?
Let's not forget, what's his name? From Now and Then.
Bill Pullman?
No.
Devin Sawa. Devin Sawa.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go with just Superman.
Superman's cool. Superman's mine too. Batman Returns and Dark Knight are the other two ones that I like a lot.
Superman, Batman, Dark Knight.
Okay.
89
Batman. 89. Where does he get all those wonderful toys?
All right, well.
This is a superhero hour.
Yeah, I didn't mean to keep you guys this long. Right?
No. I don't even know how long we were kept.
This one's almost 2 hours.
That's fine.
Okay. Oh, wow. All
right. Hey. Okay. Hey, as long as you two are cool with it.
We're coming back next Sunday.
Okay. All right. Hey, whatever. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this.
Thank you.
This will be way better than me talking for 12 minutes. This will be way better than me trying to come up with shit to talk about. And then I didn't like this. And, that's the whole fucking thing.
And you become a Down syndrome Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes, because all of a sudden, like for some reason, when John's not there to bounce shit off of, I just hate everything. I don't know why. I always find faults with shit. So I can never say, oh, I really like this. So if you guys want to come back.
Yeah. If you'll have us.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Be a great way to fill in. I told John we wouldn't replace him. That we were just.
We would never. You can't replace
you
John.
You can't replace no. John because, no. First of all, we're two people.
Right.
So it doesn't even make sense.
He was a little upset, but whatever.
We were coming on?
Well, at the idea of like.
Somebody having to fill his spot.
Quote unquote replacement?
No. Yes. We're not replacing.
No, I know.
And we can't replace.
So,
we're just guests.
So is there anything that you two want to plug or talk about? Or
we got Percy Patchett and Mr. Higgins on YouTube, which is a character that I like a lot. Percy Patchett's awesome. He's got percypatchett@gmail.com.
Okay.
Woo-woo. We're both writing and working on some screenplays, so it's fun. You can follow me at
SUD1183. Okay. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email, info@dancemonkeypodcast.com, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all that good shit. And let us know you're listening. So until next time, this is Chris.
I'm Brandon.
Kristen.
Have a good week.